You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Well, we just want to welcome everyone. If you're here for the first time, or if you're here for the second or third, or you just come every Sunday, we welcome you. We love you. It's just an amazing day as we've been on this topic of justice in an unjust world. We've been following the life of Joseph, and today we're going to be in Genesis 42. This is kind of the end of the finale of Joseph's story. So if you haven't been following along with the series, you can catch up on the website because we're going to kind of go past some of a lot of the story into the portion that we haven't touched on yet today. Because so far, Joseph has been, he has been given the position of governor of Egypt. And Pharaoh, the king, has given him gifts, given him position, given him honor. And so this is where we continue the story. Joseph is now doing great, but his family is back home. He doesn't know this, but they're running out of food to eat. Joseph is now walked into his blessings with prosperity, with honor, with respect, with position. But his family now is back home in a famine, and there's shortage of food throughout the entire region. So we pick up the story here. Genesis 42, 1. When Jacob, which is Joseph's father, heard that the grain was available in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why are you standing around looking at one another? I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy enough grain to keep us alive. Otherwise, we'll die." So Joseph's 10 older brothers went down to Egypt to buy grain. But Jacob wouldn't let Joseph's younger brother, Benjamin, go with them, for fear some harm might come to him. So Jacob's son arrived in Egypt along with others to buy food, for the famine of Canaan was in Canaan as well. Since Joseph was governor of all Egypt and in charge of selling grain to all the people, it was to him that his brothers came. When they arrived, they bowed before him with their faces to the ground. Joseph recognized his brothers instantly, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. Has anybody ever wanted to just stick it to the person that stuck it to you? We're in the house of God. No, don't lie. So he pretends to be a stranger and speaks harshly to them. "Where are you from?" he demanded. "From the land of Canaan," they replied. "We have come to buy food." Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they didn't recognize him. And he remembered the dream he had had about many years before. And he said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see how vulnerable our land has become." "No, my lord," they exclaimed, "your servants have simply come to buy food. We are all brothers, members of the same family. We are honest men, sir." And I don't even know what's going through Joseph's mind at this point. He said, "We are honest men, sir. We are not spies." "Yes, you are," Joseph insisted. "You have come to see how vulnerable our land has become." "Sir," they said, "there are actually 12 of us. We, your servants, are all brothers, son of a man living in the land of Canaan. Our youngest brother is back there with our father right now. And one of our brothers is no longer with us." That's cleverly put. Listen, we have to let go of the past. God wants to elevate you. God wants to promote you. God wants to bless you. But you have to be able to let go of what has happened in the past. It's a critical aspect, because it's sad to see when people are stuck in the past, because that means they're not living in the possibility of the purpose of the now. They're not living in the possibility of the purpose that God has for them in the now, because they're stuck in the past. When you live in the past, you are not living in the possibility and purpose of the now. You cannot move forward and look back. You'll wreck. You'll be be a wreck. Do you see how God designed us with our faces forward? It's because a majority of our time and focus is supposed to be on the now and on the future. You know, if you try to take off running in a sprint, looking backwards, you're going to fall. You're going to get hurt. We were only meant to look back momentarily, a glance at the past. Our focus was meant to be on the now and in the future. You know, I've seen this because I get the wonderful opportunity to talk to a lot of people. If you listen long enough to somebody, you can hear if they're living in the past or if they're living in the now of their purpose. And I want to give you this news flash if you didn't already know. Your purpose is not in your past, and your past is not in your purpose. And I just say it again. Your purpose is not in your past, and your past is not in your purpose. We have to learn to let it go. If you want to fly, if you want to be free, if you want to walk in the things that God has purposed you, you got to let those things go. Purpose is in the now and in the future. If you're living in the past, you're not walking in your purpose. Turn to somebody today and say, let it go. We have to let the past go. You see, when we look at Joseph's life, God has blessed him with so much. The only thing at this point that could hold him back is his past. We should use the past and not allow the past to use us. If you don't watch out, the past will own you. Don't let the past own you. The past has a way of taking control of your life and turning you into a relic. Outdated, outmoded, completely out of touch of the purpose that God has for you right now. That's what the past can do. I love history. I love the History Channel, but the History Channel isn't playing 24/7 in my mind. We have to live in the now. We have to know what's happened in the past so we don't repeat it, but we have to live in the now. We have to turn off the History Channel and turn on the Purpose Channel. What is God doing right now in my life? What is God doing in me? What is God doing with my purpose? That is the question. That is the predominant focus in the mind of a believer. Not what went on in the past. Maybe some people here today think you've dealt with a relational issue, but you haven't completely dealt with it. Joseph thought he had dealt with his relational issues until they showed up in the flesh. He had dealt with the relationship issues in theory, but it wasn't until his brothers showed up that we saw some other feelings come to the surface. Their lives were in Joseph's hands. Now, the tables were turned. Before, his life was in their hand. They could kill him and leave him in the well. They could sell him into slavery. They could let him free. And now he had the same power over all 10 of them at the same time. Forgiveness isn't easy. Sometimes it's a process to resolve a thing in your heart. Forgiveness isn't always as easy as 1, 2, 3. Sometimes it's a multi-layered thing that we go and we have to go through a process of healing, a process of forgiveness. Sometimes forgiveness is a process. It may not happen all at once. So we go on this journey of releasing something or releasing someone a little bit at a time. Maybe Joseph thought he had forgiven his brothers. Maybe some of you think that there are some people that you've forgiven. God has a way of surfacing unforgiveness. Why? Because he wants you to be free. He wants you to be free of anything that would hold you back and keep you from walking in the totality of your purpose. God wants you to be free to live your purpose. For that to happen, you have to part with whatever you're holding on to from the past. I recently had this Joseph experience, and I wasn't expecting it. And I was on lunch with my wife, and they're in the same restaurant as somebody that had hurt me, had hurt my family. And I'm not talking about like a small thing. You know when somebody gets you, and they get you good. Anybody been get good? All right. And they just kind of stuck the knife in there. It was pretty deep. You know, but I was so happy with myself because I was healed to the point that I was able to shake the person's hand and look them in the eye because I had let it go. I had let it go. You know, there is a freedom in letting a thing go. Why? Because you know what? I'm not the judge. You're not the judge. So go ahead and let that thing go. Don't carry that thing. Don't put that thing up on your shoulders and live your life with it, carrying that thing day after day. It's time to turn that thing loose. Let go of the past. Embrace the future. God wants you to walk in something beautiful and new. What does the scripture say? The scripture says, I'm doing something new. Do you not perceive it? I'm making streams in the desert. I'm making paths in the wilderness. God has prepared a way for us before the foundation of the earth. He's even when we were in our mother's womb, he had a purpose designed for us. Why are we focusing on the past? Don't carry the weight of that offense your whole life. You've got better things to do. One of the saddest things is when people don't let something go and they're still concerned about an injustice that happened years ago, seasons ago. And the person that caused the injustice is doing just fine. They're sleeping at night. They haven't given it a second thought. They're not carrying that weight every day. But sometimes we are carrying the weight of the injustice that was done to us. Turn that thing loose. You carrying the injustice is not going to solve the injustice. Walking in your purpose will. Learn to let things go and be free. So if I were to summarize a little bit more of Joseph's story, because we're limited on time. Genesis 42:14, basically Joseph accuses his brothers of being spies. He throws them into jail for 3 days. Then he brings them back out of jail and says, the only way you can convince me that you're not spies is to go bring the one brother back that you didn't bring. Now this is interesting. I'm sure that Joseph had his own maraud of intentions for this. But it's possible that Joseph had never even seen Benjamin. Because at the time, the scripture reads like Joseph is the youngest. So now he says, bring the youngest. Let me see. Prove to me that you're not spies. Bring your baby brother Benjamin. And so he keeps one of the brothers in jail as collateral, and he sends the rest home with grain to feed the family. He keeps Simeon. So they come back home to Jacob, the father of all this drama, and they say, if we go back, we have to bring Benjamin with us, or else he won't see us. And Jacob says, absolutely not. You cannot take Jacob. I already lost Joseph. I'm not giving up Jacob. Listen, now I'll say, sometimes mothers and fathers are funny about the baby of the family. So this is one of those situations. Jacob, I'm not letting the baby go. So it looks like Simeon could be in jail for a while. Genesis 43:1. The famine continues to ravage the land of Canaan. When the grain then had been brought from Egypt was almost gone, Jacob said to his sons, go back and buy a little more food. But Judah says, the man was serious when he warned us, you won't see my face again unless your brother is with you. If you send Benjamin with us, we will go down and buy more food. If you don't let Benjamin go, we won't go either. Remember, the man said, you won't see my face again until your brother is with you. Now, listen, this is the difference. We can move forward or we can wallow in what is happening in the past. Yes. Listen to what Jacob says. It says Jacob moaned. The dad now, why are you so cruel to me? Why did you tell him you had another brother? And they replied that the man kept asking questions about our family. He asked, is your father still alive? Do you have another brother? So he answered his questions. How could we know? He would say, bring your brother down here. Judah says to his father, send the boy with me and we will be on our way. Otherwise, we will all die of starvation. And not only we, but you and our little ones. I personally guarantee his safety. You may hold me responsible if I don't bring him back to you. Remember that part. Then let me bear the blame forever. If we hadn't wasted all this time, we could have already gone and returned twice by now. So the father Jacob finally said to them, if it can't be avoided, then at least do this. Pack your bags with the best products of the land. Take down to them the man his gifts, balm, honey, gum, aromatic resin, pistachio nuts, almonds, I don't know, chocolate. Give him gifts, okay? Also, take double the money that was put back in your sacks, as it was probably someone's mistake. Then take your brothers and go back to the man, and may God Almighty give you mercy as you go before him, so that he will release Simeon and he will let Benjamin return. Something in our nature craves revenge. It's not the good part of our nature. It's not the godly side. It's not the churchy side. But it's a part of our nature, our flesh nature, that we sometimes struggle with. Joseph, now he has all these things. He has Egypt at his fingertips. He's got the chariot. He's got the mode of transportation. He's got the fine linen. He's got the signet ring of authority. He's got the gold chain around his neck. He has prosperity. But he's still craving something inside of him, wants a little payback. He wants to see his brother sweat a little bit. How many saw the movie 12 Years a Slave? Okay, this movie is 13 Years a Slave. Joseph was 13 years a slave in Egypt. And so I'm sure letting Simeon hang out supervised in the jail for a little while the brothers get their act together and bring Benjamin was not a big deal to Joseph, you know. He knew Simeon's not going to get hurt, you know, but just get a little taste. Get a little taste of what jail's like. And sometimes that's how we are. We want our enemies to experience some difficulties. But the truth is, you have to let it go. Turn to somebody and say, you got to let it go. The thing that you're holding on to is only holding you back. The thing that you're holding on to is really just holding you back. So we look at this, Genesis 43:19. The brothers come back to Egypt to buy grain, and Joseph keeps them guessing. He invites them to dinner. Whoa! But then he's still talking through an interpreter, so they still think he's an Egyptian. He releases Simeon from jail because they brought Benjamin. But as they leave, he plants a little evidence on the brothers. Now, how many have seen those movies where the cop plants a little evidence? Little something in your back pocket. So as they're leaving, Joseph plants a little evidence in one of their sacks. Now, he could have chose any of the brothers, but he chose to put the evidence in Benjamin's sack, which would just make the situation a little bit sweeter. Because they all promised Benjamin's safe return, every one of his brothers said, listen, you can count on me. I will do it. You can hold my family accountable. I'll bear the blame. So he puts the silver cup in Benjamin's bag, and Benjamin gets caught. And history is seemingly repeated itself. If you just close your eyes and imagine this. They come back, they chase them down, and they find them with the cup in Benjamin's bag. Think about this. They're in the same predicament, the youngest brother again to be sold into slavery. This time it's not Joseph. This time it's Benjamin. Think about that. Open up your eyes. Think about this. Think about this. The brothers are standing around there, and he says, no. You all don't have to be slaves. Just one of you. Just the one that stole. Just give us the one. What a test. What a turmoil. So all the brothers go back to the palace to beg, to plead for Benjamin's life. And this is such a change. Something has happened in their hearts. Their hearts have been transformed. Whatever hardships, whatever things that they've gone through, whatever times that they've had with God, now it's completely different. Instead of the youngest brother, instead of selling the brother out, they are begging and pleading for their life and saying, take me instead. But I want to tell you what broke the whole charade. Can I tell you what broke the whole charade? Judah, the one whose idea it was to put Joseph in slavery, steps forward and says, take me instead. Take me instead. And at that point, Joseph couldn't continue any longer. He couldn't pretend anymore because he had seen what God had done with the hearts of his brothers. God wants to restore the family. God had blessed Joseph. He had given him prosperity. He had given him position. He had given him honor. But the last and the greatest thing that God did for Joseph was restore his family. When we talk about God giving us justice, let me tell you what the last and the greatest thing that God will do for you. He will restore to you your family. He will restore to you relationships. God wants to prosper you, yes. God wants to give you position. But the greatest wealth, the greatest gift is relationships. God restored Joseph's brothers and his father. And God wants to restore what the enemy has tried to steal from. He believes in restoration. God is the God of family. And he causes restoration to happen. Even impossible relationships can be possible again with God. With God, restoration is not only a possibility. Restoration is God's desire. Will you bow your heads with me today? I really believe by the Spirit this is what God wants to show us today about the Joseph story. One of the greatest justices, one of the greatest paybacks, one of the greatest things being made right in your life is going to be this powerful move of family restoration. And I just want to speak this word over you. I just want to pray this prayer over you today because I want to tell you God is not done with your family. God is not done with your marriage. God is not done with that relationship, that friendship, that person that you know the enemy got in and sabotaged. God, you are the God of restoration. Father, I know there are some people in this place right now that need you to fix some things, some broken parts of their relationships. Some brokenness in their family. The enemy has tried to sabotage relationships, marriages, families. But God, there is no one like you. With you, nothing is impossible. Nothing is beyond your capability of restoration. So God, I pray, pour out your Spirit today. The very fragrance of your Spirit on our people today, on our community today. Lord, and on each and every person that's listening right now, God, let the Spirit of restoration go forth to bring a mighty harvest of restoration. Family restoration, relational restoration, things that fell apart that weren't supposed to fall apart, things that were sabotaged by the devil that God is going to put back together. We send forth the word of the Lord today that there be a spirit of restoration. And the angels of the Lord go forth to bring and minister restoration to families even now, even now, even now, even now. You may have thought it was impossible, but God is saying today, it's possible. You may be thought, there's no way, it'd have to be a cold day in hell. Let me tell you something, God is able to do what we are not able to do. That person that the enemy has estranged you from, God is going to arrange reconciliation. So God, I just pray you pour out your Spirit. Restore marriages. Restore sons. Restore daughters. Restore mothers. Restore fathers. Restore friends. Restore relationships that need to come back into place. God, we thank you for what you're doing. And we thank you, Father, for the things that are to come. We thank you for the Spirit of reconciliation.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.